Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Sarab Dahiya, MD, FACP, and Shyam A. Patel, MD, PhD, about their research into the risk of developing second primary cancers following CAR T-cell therapy and how this risk, though low, may be mitigated. In our exclusive interview, Drs. Dahiya and Patel discussed the pathobiology of SPCs that develop after CAR T-cell therapy, potential SPC prevention strategies, and how SPC research may optimize CAR T-cell product development in the future.
To set the stage, what was your inspiration for writing this review article?
Thank you. CAR T therapies have provided transformative benefits for patients with leukemia, lymphoma, and multiple myeloma. And over the past few years, we've seen significant data which attests to the high value of CAR T therapies, including the curative potential for these therapies for a variety of different hematologic malignancies. However, the recent news of post-CAR T second primary cancers created significant distress amongst the public, physicians, and scientists, and there have been scattered reports of T-cell lymphomas diagnosed after CAR T administration. But the details of these reports were somewhat unclear. Our inspiration for this manuscript was to better educate physicians, scientists, and the public about the risk for second primary cancers in the post-CAR T setting. And our main aim here was to assess the epidemiology of second primary cancers and to provide information on risk mitigation strategies based on best available evidence. We also aim to provide practical recommendations for management of these risks. Dr. Dahiya, do you have any thoughts on this?
So thank you, Dr. Patel. I think the main idea there was there were a couple of main ideas that we wanted to convey in this particular publication. One was to really define these secondary primary cancers that patients are experiencing after getting CAR T-cell. And additionally, further provide insights into pathobiology of these second primary cancers. As we learned in our research that the incidence of these second primary cancers is fairly low, and the concern was, of course, the T-cell malignancies, and specifically insertional mutagenesis and insertional transgene-positive T-cell malignancies. That was a main concern, and as we found out, was quite a rare incidence of these transgene-positive T-cell lymphoma in our analysis.
What is the pathobiology of SPCs after CAR T, particularly with regard to insertional mutagenesis?
So, originally, when FDA had issued this warning in November of 2023 and later on in January of 2024, the main concern was increased observation of T cell lymphomas after getting CAR T cell therapy. Even at the advent of CAR T cell therapy, there's always been this concern about insertional mutagenesis, where the CAR T transgene inserts itself into the T cell genome, potentially into an oncogene, resulting in a oncogenic event that results in T-cell proliferation and T-cell lymphoma or leukemia, T-cell malignancy. That phenomenon is called insertional mutagenesis. And that was a concern that FDA had in their original prospective article that they had written in the New England Journal of Medicine, with three cases observed in their original observation. The additional concern that they had was also this increased incidence of just T cell malignancies that is transgene negative for these patients. So those are sort of the two concerns that FDA had that we tried to further elaborate and expand on in our analysis and review research paper.
Thank you, Dr. Dahiya, for those insightful thoughts. And in addition to those aspects of the pathobiology, there's also a risk, as you know, for therapy-related myeloid neoplasms and solid tumors. As for therapy-related myeloid neoplasms, there can be clonal hematopoietic expansion of mutated hematopoietic stem cells or progenitors as a direct result of cytotoxic chemotherapy exposure in the setting of CAR T lymphodepleting chemotherapy. Genotoxic stress within the myeloid compartment can contribute to the development of therapy-related myeloid neoplasms, and TP53 mutations are often found in these therapy-related myeloid neoplasms, leading to high-risk second primary cancers. With regard to solid tumors, there have been reports of development of solid tumors post-CAR T therapy, though the frequency is relatively low. The pathobiology of the development of solid tumors may involve impaired immune surveillance after CAR T administration.
Really great insights there. Can you walk through some of the studies that have examined the epidemiology of SPCs after CAR T cell therapy? What could be learned from these studies?
Sure, that's a really great question. One of the first reports of second primary cancers, the cancer risk came from a multi-center study at the University of Washington, in which it was found that only about 2% of CAR T recipients developed second primary cancers. And around the same time, a number of single institutional studies came out showing a small but defined risk for second primary cancers, typically in the range of 3% or less. Then in November 2023, the FDA was notified of about 20 cases of T-cell lymphomas amongst about 30,000 CAR-T recipients, and most of these lymphomas occurred within about 24 months of CAR-T infusion. In 2024, the CIBMTR issued a report documenting about a 4% incidence of second primary cancers. Now, very few of these second primary cancers were actually T-cell lymphomas. There have been occasional rare reports of transgene positive T-cell lymphomas from single institutional experiences. And Dr. Dahiya, I'm curious to hear about your thoughts based on the study that your team at Stanford has done on second primary cancer risk.
Yeah, no, thank you, Dr. Patel. This was an example of the field getting together and really putting out institutional experiences as well as registry data at a very fast pace. In 2024, we saw close to about a dozen reports from institution, including single institution data and registry data from organizations like CIBMTR issuing data. So there was an amazing response to this new safety risk that had emerged. At Stanford, we looked at our experience of upwards of 700 patients who had received a gene-modified T-cell treatment or CAR T-cell therapy. We excluded patients who got non-gene-modified T-cell therapies. So for those patients who received CAR T-cell therapy, which was about upwards of 7%, our data was in line with what other institution had reported. We saw only a single case of transgene negative T-cell lymphoma, and we did a deep genomic sequencing to really elucidate the pathobiology of that particular T-cell lymphoma and showed that there was no transgene that was detectable in that particular case. Additionally, we showed that the incidence of second primary cancers, including therapy-related myeloid neoplasms and solid tumors, were comparable to what other institutions and registry data that have shown with incidence less than 3% for secondary myeloid neoplasm and less than 5% for solid tumors. So as such, there were the original concerns that the FDA had, which was basically T-cell malignancies, was a rather low risk event and a very, very extremely rare event that we observed in our single institution experience in line with other large centers putting out their data and registry-based data.
Can you walk through the recommendations for mitigation strategies for post-CAR T SPCs as it relates to primary prevention?
Sure, that's a very important question, and thanks for bringing that up. With regard to primary prevention in the field of cancer epidemiology, the main goal is to prevent second primary cancers from occurring in the first place. Primary prevention often begins with open-ended conversations between physicians and patients about the real but very small risk for developing second primary cancers. Consent documentation should also include the risk for second primary cancers after administration of CAR T therapies. Free-flowing communication is also important between physicians and patients and it can help patients make informed decisions about the treatments that they will receive, and it may also help prevent second primary cancers from developing. Another major aspect of primary prevention involves manufacturing considerations for CAR-T products. Currently, the CAR-T products are created after semi-random integration of a lentivirus into a T-cell genome. This viral transduction is somewhat imprecise, and it can potentially lead to insertional mutagenesis. In order to better improve this process, one method of primary prevention from the manufacturing standpoint may be to establish methods for locus-specific integration. And one possibility for that could be the use of the CRISPR-Cas9 system to knock in CAR cassettes into certain areas within the T-cell genome, and base editing might also help with this. Dr. Dahiya, do you have any thoughts on this?
No, I think just like to build upon what you said about the targeted insertion of the transgene. I think that's an area that definitely needs to be studied and developed. Bioengineering strategies need to be developed to insert the transgene into the genomic safe harbors where the risk of insertional mutagenesis would be negligible. So that's an area that is an active area of research and bioengineering, and more to come on that. In terms of secondary myeloid neoplasms or therapy-related neoplasms, a lot of it is probably related to the prior therapies that the patients get. Generally, most of the patients that get CAR T-cell therapy currently have received a lot of therapy beforehand, be it several lines of alkylating chemotherapy, therapies including high-dose chemotherapy in the form of an autologous transplant, long-term maintenance with IMIDs, and other genotoxic therapies like radiation that have been pursued by these patients. As we move CAR T-cell therapy to earlier lines, I think there's a lot of learning that needs to be gained as we move CAR T-cell therapy into earlier lines. Additionally, I think the field of CAR T-cell therapy is expanding into non-cancer indications. And in those particular indications, specifically autoimmunity, patients have had less exposure to prior genotoxic therapies like chemotherapy or radiation therapy. As such, it would be a very important important field to study to truly understand the risk of, to separate the risk of chemotherapy-related or genotoxic therapies-related injury to the DNA resulting in myeloid neoplasms, as opposed to true effect of CAR T-cell therapy and CAR T-cell therapy-related inflammation in developing these secondary myeloid neoplasms. So I think the next few years, I would say next 2 to 3 years, there will be a lot more data about incidence of these second primary cancers as we move CAR T into earlier lines and as we do CAR T-cell therapy for autoimmunity. So a lot of things in terms of risk of development of these second myeloid neoplasms or myeloid neoplasms would be demystified. An attribution that is directly related to CAR T would be further established as we move CAR T into earlier lines and we compare data from fields like autoimmunity.
We talked about primary prevention. What about secondary prevention strategies? What strategies can be implemented to monitor and mitigate the risk of SPCs in those receiving CAR T products?
Great question again. Secondary prevention is also very important for risk mitigation. And one of the components of secondary prevention is identifying patients who have an inherent baseline risk or predisposition to developing second primary cancers. This may include patients with pre-existing clonal hematopoiesis, in which there are somatic mutations within one's own hematopoietic compartment, and these patients may be at risk for clonal expansion of these mutated cells in the post-CAR-T setting. It may be worth screening patients for baseline clonal hematopoiesis prior to administration of CAR T therapy, though currently there are no consensus guidelines for this method of secondary prevention. Another major aspect of secondary prevention includes identifying patients who might have baseline inflammation or comorbidities that might place them at higher risk for developing second primary cancers. It'd be great to hear Dr. Dahiya's thoughts on this question also.
I think the only thing to add there is understanding about what are the right screening strategies in these patient populations, specifically in the context of myeloid neoplasms. The data is evolving on the role of clonal hematopoiesis and clonal hematopoiesis dynamics post-CAR T-cell therapy. So that data is evolving, and that research is ongoing at this particular time. So it would be interesting to see if there's a particular type of CHIP mutation that is seen, if those are the patients that are the highest risk of developing myeloid neoplasms or not. Another thing is also if there's an expansion in allele frequency of these certain CHIP mutations, are those patients at higher risk or not? So that data, that research is ongoing, and I'm following that very closely. Lastly, as at a minimum, the recommendation would also be to have age-appropriate screening done for these for the patients who get CAR T-cell therapy. There's no other screening strategies that we would recommend at this particular time, but continuing with age-appropriate screening for recipients of CAR T-cell therapy.
How can education on risks of these SPCs linked with this modality be improved on the patient and provider levels?
Great question. So education on risks for second primary cancers linked to CAR T therapy begins with open communication between clinicians and patients about the risks. Prior to the administration of CAR T therapies, physicians or clinicians should inform their patients about the small possibility of developing second primary cancers. And we can improve education by informing our patients about this real risk, but also let them know that the risk is quite low, typically in the range of 4% or less. And at the provider level, physicians can evaluate the primary literature and provide education to healthcare providers in this process of administering CAR T therapies to patients. Dr. Dahiya, any thoughts on this?
I think very well said, Dr. Patel. I think one thing to understand is about the competing risk from the primary malignancy itself and the intent to give the patient best shot at cure. Currently, the competing risk from having an adverse event or dying due to progression of disease is much higher for majority of the disease where there is CAR T cell therapy that is indicated, is much higher than the risk of developing second primary cancers. The risk is very, very low. The transgene positive T cell lymphoma risk is extremely rare. Only a handful of patients have been reported to have that event. Risk of transgene negative T cell lymphoma is also extremely low and is lower or comparable to general population's risk of developing these malignancies. The myeloid neoplasms and solid tumor risk is appears to be, as Dr. Patel had said, less than 4 to 5%, which is on par with what is seen with other alkylating chemotherapies or high dose chemotherapy strategies that are often deployed in these in the treatment of these diseases, in the treatment of hematologic malignancies. So at this particular time, the main message is, I think, that I convey to our referring and our collaborators, as referring doctors, collaborators, is the risk of these second primary malignancies is rather low, and they still remain very efficacious treatment. And often in certain cancers like large B-cell lymphoma, provides best shot at cure.
How do you feel interdisciplinary collaboration amongst oncologists, geneticists, and primary care providers can be enhanced to address the risk of these SPCs in patients undergoing this modality?
Interdisciplinary communication can be enhanced by ensuring that all parties are educated about the objective data behind the risk for second primary cancers following CAR T therapy. Currently, there is some misinformation about the risk for second primary cancers, and thus far, a causal relationship has not really been proven. Primary care physicians and oncology professionals should work with centers of excellence in understanding the risks and establishing good follow-up care plans for these patients.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On X and Blue Sky, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.